Good evening, everybody. Today, we're going to learn Chulin Daf Samach Zayin. Am I correct about that? I just realized. I hope I prepared the correct daf. The last daf of the third parak of Maseches Chulin. Is that tomorrow's daf? I'm so confused. I'm up here in camp. I hope so. Let me double check that. Yeah, I think it's correct. Okay, Chulin Daf Samach Zayin. Baruch Hashem. Okay, Chulin Daf Samach Zayin. This is the last daf of the third parak of Maseches Chulin, and we are discussing the shratzim of the Mayim and the shratzim of the Aretz, and which ones are kosher, which ones are not kosher. We are going to pick up six lines from the end of the page on Daf Samach Vav, and based on your sponsor once again by Dr. David Lander, and honor his wife and children, and Lee Lishmas' mother, Golda Basimcha Allah Shalom, and Shamash Avon Aliyah. So the Gemara is going to go through various limudim about shratzei Hamayim, which ones are kosher and which ones are not kosher, depending on where you find them, depending on where they grow. Are they in a kli? Are they in a river? Are they, where exactly are they? Then the Gemara is going to explain that the Braisa had said on some of them based about holy hitir b'mufurash, hitir b'stam. What's that referring to? What's the mufurash and what's the stam? Then we're going to talk about straining beer at night and what the concerns might be as far as tolaim when it comes to straining beer at night. The Gemara is then going to discuss what would qualify is a sheretz haaretz. How much does it have to have existed on the ground versus in the tree, in the fruit? And we're going to have several sveikos related to talayim that maybe did not actually ever crawl on the ground. The Gemara is going to discuss what about talayim that you find inside the liver or the lung of a behemah. Where do those come from, and are they kosher and or are they not kosher? What about talayim that you find in the flesh of animals or fish, and are they kosher? And then the Gemara is going to prove at the very end of the parak, to end with a note of geula, that the Leviathan is a kosher fish. So let us begin again. We are holding at Ve'ema, or at least that's where we're going to pick up, six lines from the end of the page on Daf Samach Vavan Beis. Important to remember over here that there are four types of Shratzei Hamayim that do not have Simane Kashrus, that do not have Snapir V'Kaskeses. There's a Sheretz Hamayim that you find that there's a pasuk in the Torah to tell me it's treif. That it's treif. Then you have a second category, a sheretz hamayim that you find in spring waters that are called charitzin and itzin. So they're similar to yamim ulechalim in certain ways because they flow and they come from the ground, and they have an inlet and an outlet, and they're in the ground. So and then there's a third category, which is a sheretz hamayim that you find in puddles that are in the ground, or in boros and shichin and ma'oros. So that's a little bit like yamim ulechalim because it's at least in the karka. It's not entirely like yamim ulechalim because it doesn't flow. It's totally closed off. There's no inlet. There's no outlet. And then all the way at the other extreme, you have a sheretz hamayim that you find inside of kelim, and that's totally different than yamim ulechalim because the water doesn't flow and it's not closed off and it's in a kli and it's not in the karka. It's entirely different. So the two extremes we're pretty clear about. Any sheretz hamayim that you find in a kli is going to be kosher. Any sheretz hamayim you find in yamim ulechalim is going to be not kosher. What about the middle category? So that's where we started to have the discussion in the few lines prior to the sixth, the last line here on Samach Vav and Beis. So says the Gemara, the pasuk says, "Ez tochel mikol asher b'mayim kol asher lo snapir v'kaskeses b'mayim b'yamim uvan echolim osam tochelu." That if something has snapir v'kaskeses and you find it in yamim uchalim, you can eat it. So you see two things: mikol asher b'mayim, that anything that's in the mayim, and kol asher lo snapir v'kaskeses b'mayim. So those are two general categories. So it sounds like the dinim of snapir v'kaskeses apply to anything that lives in any water, because it just says mayim stam. But then the pasuk goes into some detail and says, no, b'yamim, b'nechalim, that these rules apply in particular locations. So ve'ema b'mayim klal, b'yamim b'nechalim prat. Maybe we should say, look, b'mayim is a very general statement. It sounds like any water, but then b'yamim b'nechalim is very specific, and the rule is klal prat in b'nechalim masher prat. Whenever you have a klal followed by a prat, the prat is fully limiting the klal to only the examples in the Prat, and therefore Yamun Chalim in the dinim of needing snapim for kaskeses in order to be kosher and not having snapim for kaskeses being treif only applies to fish that are in Yamun Chalim, but in itzim v'charitzin lo. But if they're found in the itzim v'charitzin, then you're not going to have those same dinim. They're not going to be usher even though they're lacking snapim for kaskeses. So says Gemara, no. This is not a klal prat. Rather, it's a klal prat klal. But mayim chazer v'kalal. Oh, when you have a klal prat klal, then we are marbe not only the exact examples of the prat, but anything that is similar to the prat. Says Gemara, can you really darshan this as a klal prat klal? Hani trei klali desmichi la'adadininu. The two klalim come one on the heels of the other without the prat in between them. The prat only comes after both klalim are mentioned. So Ravina k'dami marav kol magim shatemotzei shne klalos asmuchin zelazeh. That yeah, you know, they say in Eretz Yisrael, whenever you have two klalim, one right next to the other, and then there's a prat that follows it, hatel prat b'neihem, v'don b'chal prat u'klal, pretend that the prat is in between them, and you treat it like klal prat u'klal. And therefore, the drasha is, b'mayim klal, b'yam v'l'chalim prat, b'mayim chazer v'chalal. So klal prat u'klal, i'atodan eleken prat. And therefore, the dinim of snapper v'kaskeses are going to apply to anything that's similar to yamim v'l'chalim. So ma prat mefurish mayim novim, just like it's flowing water in yamim v'l'chalim, I've called mayim novim. So too, any flowing water is going to have the same status of snapper v'kaskeses, things with snapper v'kaskeses being kosher and things without it not being kosher. So my rabbi, what are we including therefore in things that are similar to yamim v'l'chalim? Charitzin uni'itzin, the either long narrow bodies of water that are dug into the ground, or wide bodies of water that are dug into the ground. Li'isura, that is included in the isur, that if it doesn't have snapper v'kaskeses, it's treif. Umay miyet, and what are we excluding from the requirements of snapper v'kaskeses? Baruch shichnu ma'aros le'atera. Baruch shichnu ma'aros. That tells us that even if they don't have snapper v'kaskeses, they're going to be kosher. So says Gemara, but are you sure? That's how we should darshan it. Ve'ema maha prat meforash mayim gedelun al gabe karka af kol mayim gedelun al gabe karka. Maybe we should say that in what way does something have to be similar to yamim u'nuchalim in order to have the dinim of snapper v'kaskeses, and it needs to be water that's gedelim al gabe karka. Umay Rabbi, what's included in that? Afilu barashich lemaros. Not only category 2, even category 3. Remember, we started by saying there are 4 categories. There's yamim u'nuchalim, that for sure you have the dinim of snapper v'kaskeses. The other extreme is kalim, that for sure you don't have the dinim of snapper v'kaskeses. But then category 2, which is somewhat similar to yamim u'nuchalim, is ni'itzin v'charitzin. And then category 3 is barashich lemaros. Maybe we're telling us barashich lemaros li surah, that it needs to have snapper v'kaskeses. So my miyet, and what are we excluding? Miyet kalim. We're only excluding the opposite extreme animal creatures that are found in kalim, that even without snapper v'kaskeses, they're going to be kosher. So says Gemara, yeah, but if that's what the whole drasha was for, im kain tochlu, the word tochlu would then be extra, because maya hanile, what would it be coming there to teach? What would it be coming to teach me if I already know that you're allowed to eat things that don't have a snapper v'kaskeses when they come in kalim? So the word tochlu would be extra. So says Gemara, the Rabbi Shmuel Tana, in the basement of Rabbi Shmuel, they taught the drasha as follows: b'mayim, b'mayim, shtei pa'amim, ein ze klal prat ela ribo miyet. That when it says b'mayim twice, this is not a case of a klal prat. This is a ribo miyut, b'mayim riba, b'yam v'nuchalim miyet. Meaning the methodology of having inclusive terms and exclusive terms juxtaposed with one another does not lead us to say klal prat klal. It leads us to say ribo miyut or ribo miyut ribo. So over here we're saying ribo miyet, b'mayim is a ribo, b'yam v'nuchalim miyet. So b'mayim chazav riba, and then you have a riboy again. So ribo miyet riba, riba akal. That comes to include everything except for the one thing that is most similar to yamim u'nuchalim. So my rabbi, what are we included? What are we including in the Isser? Charitzin u'nitzin li'surah, that if you find creatures that don't have snapper v'kaskeses and charitzin u'nitzin, they are treif, just like yamim u'nuchalim. Umay miyet, and what are we excluding from the parsha of the snapper v'kaskeses? Baruchich Nemaros, Latera, that creatures found in Baruchich Nemaros without snapper v'kaskeses are going to be kosher. So says Gemara, maybe we should say, Ema Mai Riba Baruchich Nemaros Li Surah. Maybe we're coming to be Marba Baruchich Nemaros to tell me that they also needs Samer for Kaskasas. Umay miyeit miyeit kelim, and we're only coming to exclude creatures found in kelim. Says Gmarna im kain tochlu mayahanale. Same question. Then what would the word tochlu be teaching me? So it must be that we're coming to say that even that which is found baruch shichnu maros are not going to require snapir v'kaskasas. Frankly, Gemara ve'epuchana. But wait a second. Maybe we should flip it around and we should. Why don't we darshan the opposite and say that the riboy is teaching me about shkatzim that grow in mayim that's in baruch shichnu maros, and it's telling me that that's going to be also without snapir v'kaskasas. Whereas that which goes in charitzin and itzin maybe don't require snapir v'kaskasas. It will be kosher anyway. How do you know that just because there's one riboy, there's one miyut, that we're coming to be marbe charitzin nitzin and be ma'id baruch shichnu maros? Maybe it's the reverse. So says Marka Tani Matisya, like Matisya taught the reason. Tani Matisya Bar Yehuda, because Matisya Bar Yehuda taught Mari Isan Rabbis baruch shichnu maros la'teiru lo tzicharitzin nitzin lisura. What made us believe that baruch shichnu maros are more likely to not have rules of snapir v'kaskasas and to have all the creatures in it be kosher, whereas charitzin and itzin are more likely to not have any aterim and to have all the rules of snapir v'kaskasas? So marbani baruch shichnu maros shein atzurim kikelim, that baruch shichnu maros are much more like a kli in that there's no inlet and there is no outlet, and as a result of that they're much more like kelim where you do not need snapir v'kaskasas. And motzi ani charitzin itzin shein atzurim kikelim, but charitzin and itzin do have an inlet, they do have an outlet, and therefore they're not at all like kelim. So now the Gemara is going to go back to the brisa that we had mentioned on Samach Vav and Beis and try to explain it. That the brisa had said that Yachal hold the hitter b'mufurish hitter b'stam ma kish hitter b'mufurish lo hitter el b'kelim af kish hitter b'stam lo hitter el b'kelim. Meaning that the Torah says in one pasuk ezet tochu mikol asher b'mayim kol asher lo snapir v'kaskasas b'mayim b'yamim v'nechalim osam tochelu, and then the next pasuk says v'kol asher ein lo snapir v'kaskasas b'yamim v'nechalim mikol asher tzemayim kol nevshach asher b'mayim shekatzu lachem lachem. So one pasuk tells me that which has snapir v'kaskasas in yamim v'nechalim is kosher. Then the next pasuk tells me that which doesn't have snapir v'kaskasas in yamim v'nechalim is not kosher. So Gemara explains that the first pasuk from the first pasuk we see that only in yamim v'nechalim do we make a distinction between fish that have snapir v'kaskasas that are kosher and fish that don't have snapir v'kaskasas and that are treif. But in kelim we don't make such a distinction, and there's still room to then discuss. But wait, what should the din be by kelim? I know I'm not mechalik between that which has snapir v'kaskasas and that which doesn't, but does that mean everything's kosher, or does that mean everything's not kosher? So from the second pasuk you see that the first pasuk is telling us that which is in kelim is mutter regardless, that everything in them is kosher even if it doesn't have snapir v'kaskasas. So says Gemara, hey sasim behemu furush, which of these psukim is more explicit, and which one is less explicit? So pligibe ravach ravina, it was a machlokas amarayim. Chad upper one says that the first pasuk that tells me that if you find a fish with snapir v'kaskasas in mayim u'luchalim, it's kosher, that's the one that's a yeshlo meforash. That's the one that's meforash. And from there I learned that which grows in mayim and kelim, those creatures that can be found in mayim and kelim, even without snapir v'kaskasas, are kosher. The einlo sasum, that the pasuk that talks about that which doesn't have snapir v'kaskasas, that's the one that's not 100% explicit. B'chadam, and the other one says the opposite. No, einlo is mefurish. The pasuk about that which does not have snapir v'kaskasas, that's mefurish. The yeshlo sasum, the pasuk about that which does have snapir v'kaskasas, that's the one that's sasum. So my taima demandi amar yeshlo mefurish. What's the reason for the ashita that holds that the first pasuk that talks about a fish that has snapir v'kaskasas, that's considered mefarash? Amalach minei hu dekamishtaru kelim. It's from that pasuk we learn the heter of eating shkatim in kelim, because the pasuk is meduyuk. It says osam tochelu, meaning those that have simane tara you may eat, but that's only about fish that are in yamim unachalim. But fish that are in kelim, you don't have such a rule, and therefore that's considered to be mefurash, because the second pasuk tells me the isra of achila when it says mikol nefesh achaya asher b'mayim. So it sounds like the isra of achila is on all water in the world, and therefore the pasuk, that pasuk is not as mefurish. So even though the second pasuk also tells me that in kelim there's no isra, because the pasuk could be darshened as a klal prado klal that only that which is doma to yamim unuchalim is aser, but nevertheless that's not explicit. That klal prado klal is a midrash ator and dreshes ben. We want to know which one is explicit. So my time the man diyamar ein lo mefurish. What's the reason for the shita that holds that the pasuk that talks about that which doesn't have snapper v'kaskes is mufarish? Dahihu de kamochach aheich, because it's only with the second pasuk that we now understand what the first pasuk was coming to do. That it was coming to tell me that even that which doesn't have snapper v'kaskes in bodies of water other than yam unuchalim are going to be kosher. Di imeheich havamina bekelim afalgav di islay nami lo techel. Because had I only had that first pasuk, I would have thought that you're right. I do not distinguish between that which has snapper Kaskas and that which doesn't when it's in Kalim. But I would have thought I don't distinguish and that they're all treif, not that they're all kosher. Oh, it's only once I have the second pasuk that I realize it's telling me that they're all kosher, and therefore the second pasuk is considered to be the one that is mefarish. Okay, so if you follow none of that, that's fine. We're now up to a new topic. So now time to reorient. So Amar Rav Huna, lo lishbi in a shichra b'tzaviyasa b'urta. A person should not pour out date beer where there's common to find worms in date beer from one barrel to another in order to strain it out over wood chips at night. Why? Because we're afraid some of the tolo'in might become separated from the beer and then they'll fall right into the coast. And once the tolo'in were on the wood chips and they were crawling around and then they fell into the beer, once they were crawling around the wood chips, they were sharitz hasharitz al aretz, and therefore they're going to be treif. So says Gemara, then we should aser even any tolo'as that you find inside of a kli, dilma parish le dafna demana v'hadun nafal demana, because after all it might fall on the wall of the kli and then fall into the kli itself. Says Mar Hasamayin Rabesi, Rabise, that's the way the sharet hamayim typically behaves, to go a little bit onto the wall of the kli and then go back into the kli. So since that's the derech gidula of it, it's considered as if it never was parish from the mayim, and it never was a sharet hasharet al aret. So the Gemara seems to be telling us that don't do this straining of beer at night, because if you do the straining of beer at night, you might miss a tola'as that gets caught on the wood chips that you're straining it through and then goes and falls into the beer. Now Rashi says, and the chashash is, and what's going to happen? So you'll miss it. So Rashi says, the chashash is, the next day you're going to see it, but you're not going to know that it was ever separated from the beer. So you're going to assume it's kosher and you'll just drink it, because you're not going to realize that it was ever shoretz al ha'aretz. So the Achronim point out that Rashi must hold that at night, as long as you haven't seen the tola'as, you don't have to be choshesh that you're going to drink the beer together with the tola'as, that there was a tola'as that separated and came back in, that you're going to drink the beer together with it. It's only in the next morning when you see it that you might drink it and not pay any attention to it. So the Shiva Sion explains that Rashi holds that a davar she'eino miskaven in kol ha'torah kulo is mutter. It's only the b'chalavim va'arayos that davar she'eino miskaven is asur, v'shekein nehin, that because by chalavim va'arayos, when it comes to eating macholos asuros, you're getting enough from it, so we don't have a head to call davar she'eino miskaven. But tola'im are not considered chalavim, right? It's not considered a dvar achila that you're getting enough from, because no one gets hanoa from eating tola'im. So therefore, it's going to be mutter. But then he says that it's not lahalacha, because most of the Rishonim disagree with it. The Biragra in Yoredeya Simun Kuf writes that Rashi holds that mistama, there's shishim keneged the tola'as. So the whole issue is only because the tola'as is a beria, and the Rabbanu word goes there, that a beria is not batal barov. So when you don't see the tola'as, it's a safek drabanan, and you have to be choshish for a safek drabanan. Once you see the tola'as, now it's a vadai drabanan, and therefore you have to be choshish for it. Chach Masadim writes that it's really a sex feka. Maybe there's no tola'as there at all. And even if there is a tola'as there, maybe it was porish from the kli, and then it went back into the kli, and therefore Rashi holds you're allowed to drink the sheikhar at night, because it's a sex feka. And it's meduyik in the Gemara. He said, lo lishbi, meaning you shouldn't do this, but b'diavad, if you did, it's going to be kosher. So says Gemara, Minat Teimra, how do I know this chalik titani minayin the rabbis Baruchich Lamarash Shoch Vishoh Sibahead? How do I know that you're allowed to bend down and just drink from Baruchich Lamarash Veinu Nimna? You don't have to worry about it. Tabalomar, Tochl Mikol Asher B'mayim. Pasuk says, Tochl Mikol Asher B'mayim. So from the word Tochl, we learn that that only that which that we don't aser shkatzim that grow in the mayim that's in Baruchich Lamarash. So it's a kasha on the brayse, because even they grow in boroughs, they're not going to be usher as long as they're in the bar. But how could you drink it together with the tolaim? Because after all, don't you have to worry that maybe it came out of the bar and then went back in? It must be that if that's the natural behavior of these worms, then that's going to be mutter. It's not going to be a problem. And we say the same thing over here. I'll bring you a braisa as a raya to you. That includes little bugs that you have strained out that they're usher for sheretz hasharitz al aretz. Time with the sinan, it's only because they were strained out. Halo sinan shari, but if you didn't strain them, then they would be mutter, like any sheretz hamayim that comes in a beverage that's in a kli. And we're not choshesh that maybe they went on to the dofen of the kli and they fell back in, because hainu rabbi say, and as long as it's hainu rabbi say, that's normal behavior, then we're not going to be choshesh. Now, Amar Shmuel, kishu shetliya, if you have a vegetable that was wormy, ba'avia, when it was still attached to the ground, asura, you're not allowed to eat it, mishum sheretz hasharitz al aretz. Meaning, if the worms were going around on the vegetable while it was still attached to the ground, that's a sheretz hasharitz al aretz, because the vegetable was attached to the ground. So that's obviously a sheretz hasharitz al aretz. Lema misaye, leisa says, well, I'll bring you a raya to Shmuel, the tani chad, because one braisa says, al ha'aretz, that the pasuk says, kol sheretz hasharitz al aretz sheketu lo yeachel. So it sounds like only on the aretz it's aser, lahotzia says, he's in Shabbat dashim, and that comes to exclude those that are found in adash, in lentils, v'sayatushim, shabbeklesim, or in beans, v'tolash, shabbetmarim, v'shabbegrogros, or the worms that you find in dates and in figs, that they're not shoritz al aretz. V'tayni idach, and then we have another rice that says, v'kol shoritz shoritz al aretz, l'rebos tolash, shabbeikari zesim, shabbeikari gufanim, that a worm that you find on the roots of olives and grapes is a shoritz shoritz al aretz. So isn't that a stira? We have one rice that says that it's a shoritz shoritz al aretz if it's found on a vegetable that's and if it's found in a fruit or vegetable, and another price that says that it's not a sheretz hasharitz al aretz if it's found in a fruit or a vegetable. So how do we reconcile the brisa? So my lav idi v'idi bepira. Aren't we talking about where they're both in the pre itself? V'ha bi'ibeha v'ha shalo bi'ibeha. But the second brisa is talking about tolaim that are in the Zesim and Anavim while they're still attached to the ground. So that's why they're Shoritz al Aretz. Whereas the first Brisa that said they're not Shoritz al Aretz was talking about when they're not, when the Tolaim only appeared after you harvested and they're no longer attached to the ground. So it says Marlo, yeah, it's the wrong Chilik, EDV, EDB, Beha. Both Brises are talking about where the Shrotzim were there when it was attached to the ground. Velo Kasha, Habipira, Habi Ilanagufa. The difference between them is it in the pre or is it in the tree? So if it's in the pre, that's not called a sheretz hasharitz al aretz, even though it's attached to the ground. But if it's in the tree, then it is a sheretz hasharitz al aretz. And dekanami, it's meduyuk this way, dekatami talash shebi ikare zesim, v'shebi ikare gefanim. So you see, shemamina, clearly that's talking about when it's in the tree, not in the pre. But if it's in the pre, then it would not be considered a sheretz hasharitz al aretz. So now Rav Yosef raises a number of sveikos that he has about the geder of sheretz hasharitz al aretz. So by Rav Yosef, Persha Umesa. Let's say the Tola'as came out of the pre, but then it dropped dead before it ever hit the ground. So it's falling out of the pre and dies midair, and then it hits the ground dead. So was it ever Shoretz al aretz? It never crawled because it was dead. Dead bugs don't crawl. So what's the din? Do we consider that to be a Shoretz al aretz or not? Does it need to actually walk on the ground? It does not need to actually walk on the ground. And says Gemara, and if you're going to say that if it falls onto the ground, it becomes usur, even if it never was Shoretz al aretz, what would be the din if miktsasa mahu, if when it got partially onto the ground, it died. So would we say that since the first half of its body hit the ground while it was still alive, that's called Shoritz al Aretz? And then the Gemara says, and maybe if you're going to come to the conclusion that if it gets Miktsasa onto the ground, that's Asra as well, that is called Shoritz al Aretz, what would you say? La Avira Olam. What would be if it died when it came into the air, when it was still in the air, and it never hit the ground, and you just grabbed it out of the air and ate it? So mahu, since it never got to the ground, it's not aser. Or maybe since it was poresh entirely from the pri and it went to the avira olam, it became aser. And even if you can find a raya to say that if it was poresh from the pri and it dies and it didn't crawl on the ground, that it's going to be mutter, maybe over here it should be aser, because it's not even ra'ui to crawl on the ground. But a live creature that's ra'ui to crawl on the ground, maybe there's room to say that it's aser. So take, the Gemara says, we don't know the answer to any of these questions. By Ravashi, Ravashi says, and if you're going to say that if you have a worm that was separated entirely from the fruit, and that's considered to be shoreitz ala aretz, the tola'as that was porish from the date, legag tamara. What if it went on to the top of the date itself? Mahu, what's the din? Do we assume that that's derech gidula and it's not aser? Or maybe that's considered that it was shoreitz ala aretz. Legagari nasa mahu. What if it crawled on the top of the seed of the date? Is that considered shoreitz ala aretz? Tamara l'tamara mahu. What if the worm crawled its way from one date into another date? Is that considered shoritz al aretz? Take the Gemara leaves all of these questions unresolved. So now the Gemara says, Amar Rav Sheshet Rav Davidi kukyani. If you have worms that you find in liver or in lungs of an animal asiri, you're not allowed to eat them. My time. Why is it that you're not allowed to eat them? After all, they were never shoritz al aretz. So says Gemara, because may alma asu. We know where these worms come from. They did not just come into being inside the animal. They came from outside the animal. The animal obviously swallowed them, and before they ever entered the body of the animal, they were already shoreitz al aretz, and therefore they remain treif. So maska for Ravashi. Ravashi challenges that. Imei alma asu, if they actually came from outside the animal, and the animal just ate them, l'shtachu derech beserei, how come we don't find it in the digestive tract? What's it doing in the lungs? What's it doing in the liver? That's not where you would expect to find things that the animal is busy digesting or trying to digest. So ikata amri amr of shisha bre davidi kukyani shari, that others have a different version of the conversation. Rav Shish Rei Davidi says that these worms are mutter to eat. My taima, why are they mutter to eat? Mine gavli, because they grow inside of the animal and they don't come from the outside, and therefore they were never shoritz al aretz. So Amar Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi says, pshita, obviously they grow inside the animal. Dimei alma kasu l'shachu derech beserei, because if they came from outside the animal, you'd expect to find them in the digestive tract. So says Amar v'hilchsa kukyani asiri. The halach is that these worms that you find in the lungs, that you find in the liver of the animal, they're treif, they're aser. My taima, what's the reason? I would think that they can't possibly be shoritz al aretz. They must have grown inside the animal, so they were never shoritz al aretz. Says Gemara, they were shoritz al aretz. They didn't grow inside of the animal. The animal was sleeping and it was breathing heavy and it just inhaled these bugs, these worms. And therefore, those worms were found in the lungs or in the liver based on it being inhaled. So it's not about the digestive tract, it's about the respiratory tract. And nevertheless, it's considered to be something that was once shoritz al aretz. So now the Gemara says, Tolaim darni, what about the worms that you find in the flesh of an animal? So the bisra siri dikavri sharyon, in the flesh of an animal is going to be aser, but if you find a worm in the flesh of fish, then it's mutter. So amal Ravina le'ime ivlali va'ana echel. Interesting. Ravina said to his mother, do me a favor, do a good job hiding those worms in the fish that you serve me, and then I'll eat it, and it won't be a problem for me to eat it once you do a good enough job hiding those worms from me. Because even the assumption seems to be that even if it's mutter in terms of a tola'as, it's not a sheretz in terms of a dinim of tola'im, but it's still asum mishum bal teshaktu. And therefore he's saying, hide it from me so that I won't see it, and then it won't be bal teshaktu. So Prichadosh explains that Ravina didn't want to eat the tola'im only if he saw them. When he doesn't see them, he doesn't find it disgusting. And therefore he's allowed to eat them when he doesn't see them, and it's not a violation of bal teshaktu. So he asked his mother to hide them well from him. So he says, you see from here, the Bal Teshatzu is not based on Rov Ha'olam. Bal Teshatzu is based on each and every person in terms of what he finds disgusting or not. Because it's mistaber that most people do not want to eat the tola'im in fish if they know that they're there. And Ravina said, it's fine for me to eat it as long as I don't see it, even though I know that it's there. So why is that not Bal Teshatzu for him? Because Bal Teshatzu is highly personal. It is subjective, says the Pri Chadash. So the Shevra Levi writes that really there are three madrigas. When you eat a tola'as that's kosher and you don't pay any attention at all, you don't even realize that it's there, that's mutter. When you realize that it's there, but it's in a pri or it's in mayim, so there's a little bit of shikutz, it's a little bit of a Bal Teshatzu. So for someone who's disgusted by it, it's Bal Teshatzu. For someone who's not, it's not Bal Teshatzu. But when it's on its own, it's an independent creature that you're just eating, not as a product of another food, then everyone's going to say it's also. That's for sure going to be Bal Teshatzu. So there is some leeway to say that it's up to the person. I think the post can bring a raya to this from the Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara tells stories about Kibbut Aveim and the extraordinary Kibbut Aveim that some of the Amoraim had. So I think it was Rabbi Yochanan, maybe. His mother used to wash his feet and then drink the water that she washed his feet with. She was machshiv him so much, she thought he was so special. A lot of mothers think that their children are, that their sons are God's gift to humanity. But this mother had a reason. I think it was Rabbi Yochanan's mother. So he actually was, you know, high up there. But nevertheless, to drink the water that you washed his feet with, wouldn't that be Bal Teshatzu? So that's what some of the poskim say. Not for her. That maybe Bal Teshatzu is somewhat subjective. Other poskim say, no, it's not about that it wasn't Bal Teshatzu for her. It's that there was nothing, if you were to bring that water to a lab and test it, it's no dirtier than the water you're going to find in a typical spring or in a typical lake or wherever else you might get some water from. It's just that knowing the backstory of the water that it was used to wash feet, that will be, you know, is something that you find disgusting. Maybe that's external enough that that's not considered inherent in the water itself. So that's its own discussion. So anyway, what's the difference between the worms that you found in the fish, which we said are mutter, why is that different than that which we said in the braisa, that these worms found in a behema, you're not allowed to eat. So they said, well, you can't compare that which is found in the flesh of a behema to that which is found in the flesh of a fish. Behema b'shchitu hu d'mishtarya. A behema that was asr mishum evar menachai becomes mutter when you shecht it. Vahani, and these worms that grew inside of the behema before you shechted it grew inside of a thing that was asr. It was evar menachai. So even though they never actually crawled on the ground, so they're not a sheretz hasheretz al aretz, but midloka mahani lushchita, since shchita of the behemoth does not work to take away any isser status of these tola'im, the isser of Evar Menachai from these tola'im, because they have their own life force, that the behemoth's its life force, and they are their life force. So they were part of the isser of Evar Menachai, but they never had the heter of shchita, whereas the rest of the behemoth had the heter of shchita. So b'sarayu kaiman, so these tola'im remain Usher. So the worms you find in the flesh of meat is going to be usher because the shechita does nothing to help it. But when it comes to fish, you don't need to do shechita. You just gather the fish together and they're automatically mutter. So these worms, when they grew, they were growing inside something that was perfectly kosher because the fish was always kosher. We never considered it to be an evar menachai. It never had a requirement of shechita in the first place, and therefore the worms that you find inside the fish are going to be kosher. This was a major discussion a number of years ago with the worms that they found in salmon, whether they are considered to be worms that grow inside the fish and therefore it's mefurish in the Gemara that they're kosher, or they're considered to be worms that come from the outside and therefore they present a halachic problem. Okay, so that was a big discussion at the time. Meaning everything comes from the outside. There's no worm that actually starts in the fish. The only thing is, sometimes it comes into the fish's body when it's still microscopic, so the naked eye can't see it, and therefore halachically we view it as if it grew in the fish. Okay, so says Gemara Tamra Banu, we have a brisa that the pasuk says kol holich al gachon v'kol holich al arba. Ad kol mar beraglayim lekol hasharetz hasharetz alaretz lo tochlum kishaketim. So it defines three different things as being problematic to eat: that which crawls on its belly, that which goes on fours, and that which is marbe raglayim, and each one had a riboy next to it. Each phrase says kol first. So holy chalgachon zenachash. What goes slithers on his belly? That's a snake. Kol, but it says kol holy chalgachon l'rabbis hashilshul. That comes to include a very long worm that you can find in the ashpa that also goes slithers along. Ve'es hadom l'shilshul, or anything that's similar to a shilshul. Al arba, we said anything that goes on arba ze akrab. That's a reference to a scorpion. The kol holech l'rabbis hachipushes, and the kol comes to exclude the chipushes, which also goes on fours. The esadom l'chipushes, and anything that's similar to the chipushes. And then the third category is marba raglayim zen nadal. That's a centipede. Ad kol l'rabbis esadoma, to include that which is similar to a centipede. The esadoma l'doma, and the pasuk is also marba, anything that's similar to that which is similar to a centipede. That all of it is going to be aser. So now the parak concludes. We finally made it. The end of Ili Trefus. The parak concludes with a little bit of a more cheerful topic. Tanya, Rabbi Yossi ben Dormaskis Omer, Levyasan dag toharu. The Levyasan is a kosher fish, meaning it has snapper v'kaskasas. We assume that it has fins and scales. How do I know Shneemar? Because the pasuk says in Sefer Iyov, Ga'ava afike maginim tachtov chadu dechores. So the pasuk mentions that the Levyasan was that under the Levyasan where it rests, it has these fins that are very sharp like cheres, and it goes on and tells us that the Levyasan, because it's very strong, it has such strong scales that even when it lies on pieces of barzel and pieces of iron, since it's so strong, it turns it into like dust. It turns that iron into dust. But you see that it has fins and it has scales. Afike meginim il kaskasim shavo. The afike meginim, that which protects, that's another scale. Scales protect a fish. That's the function of a scale. Tachtav chadu decheres, elu snapirin sheparech behen. Tachtav chadu decheres is a reference to the snapirin, to the fins that it uses to swim a great distance and to swim quickly or to swim upstream, whatever it may be doing. So all of those, from the psukim in Sefer Iyov, we see that that it has snapper of kaskesas, and therefore Leviathan is in fact a kosher fish. So Hadron Lachelu Trefos, Bethlehem, tomorrow we will begin the fourth parak of Maseches Chulin. Everyone have a wonderful evening.